Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to have a guest co-host with me today, Kathleen Gramsey. Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Oh, my goodness. So I've been with Business Radio X here in Phoenix for just a little over 10 months, as many of our listeners know, and there are many wonderful business owners and executive leaders that come through. That's obviously our goal, to tell a great success story about businesses large and small. We always say we don't only serve the Fortune 500, but the Fortune 500,000, because there's a lot of business owners that make up our business and our economy here in the state of Arizona. And Kathleen is one of those individuals who we just instantly hit it off. And I'm thrilled to have her back. She's invited a special guest with us today, and I'll have Kathleen introduce her. But so that our listeners know about Kathleen as well, she's a 17-year board-certified massage therapist, educator, and speaker. And I was going to say most importantly, but I think all of that is important. Also the developer of Kinesage Self-Care and the Kinesage Release Your Pain System, which is really where her major focus is right now. So Kathleen, welcome again.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be back.
Me too.
It's always fun.
Yes. And so if you would please introduce Shannon, and then we'll just have a fun conversation about what Shannon is up to.
I'd be happy to. I'm happy to introduce Shannon Tazaria. She is a designer, architect, and the builder of modern HR. Working inside startups and large enterprises has taught her that her breath is progression, her heartbeat is people, and her sight is connecting the space between ideas and reality. Fusing together her background in interior design, operations, marketing, and HR has given her a creative lens and the ability to use employee experience and brand culture to create organizational competitiveness. Today, she leads the people strategy for one of Waste Management's leading market areas. She's SHRM of Greater Phoenix immediate past president and is co-founder of AZ Talent Cooperative, which we're looking forward to hearing more about. Waste Management is the largest environmental solutions provider in North America, serving more than 21 million customers throughout the U.S. and Canada. They have invested in developing waste solutions for a changing world. Today, this includes not just disposal and recycling, but personal counseling to help customers achieve their green goals, including zero waste. As North America's leading provider of comprehensive waste management services, their mission is to maximize resource value while minimizing impact in order to further both economic and environmental sustainability for all their stakeholders. So we are very happy to have you here today, Shannon.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
And what a bio, first of all. I said that before we were off air anyway. I said, out of all the incredible people who have come through these doors, that is, I think, the most uniquely and inspiring bio that I've ever read.
Well, thank you.
Do we get to give you the credit for that, or did you have some wizard do it for you?
No, that was me, a creative writer at heart.
I was, so. Well, and when Kathleen was reading it, really just that whole ability, what I'm gathering, having just met you, this ability to see something and really take the value of it and just pop it up so that we all can see it as well. And clearly that's what I got out of the brief bio.
Yes. Yeah. And when I first met Shannon, it was at an Illuminate event, and I very lovingly call her the avant-garde of HR because you're so creative. And your ability to really see people and be able to bring forth the best in people and then see how that really relates to the collective is such an extraordinary skill that you have. So
Thank you.
When I first met you, I was like, oh my gosh, this woman is unbelievable. So I wanted to be able to have you here so that we could have everybody else understand what an amazing person you are and the incredible work that you do.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Highly passionate.
Yeah. Well, good. Good for you. Yeah. And fairly new to waste management.
I am just rounding out about 4 months. So yeah, it's been incredible. And yeah, talk about purpose alignment, recycler at heart. I've looked at, you know, those different opportunities almost my whole life, coming from Seattle and moving here. So just been a great fit for me, and certainly the company focused on doing some really incredible things around employee experience, which is kind of near and dear to my heart.
It's so neat because I'm hearing more and more large organizations speak from that perspective very sincerely when people come into the studio. I had mentioned we had Copperpoint Insurance's CEO and Infusionsoft CEO, two different segments, but not unlike you, they are very passionate about making a difference for their employees and of course customers and our community at large. But we know, and more of us are embracing, that it starts with our immediate community, right?
It does. It really does. And then connecting in between, you know, the employees, the customers, the community, and how do we create, you know, that really beautiful trifecta that can really elevate, you know, everyone forward. Kind of my utopian, yeah. We say my utopian view, but.
And having been there for 4 months, are you starting to see some... Well, I shouldn't even lead that question, but tell us a little bit about where you guys are at right now and what the vision is for the future.
Sure. So 4 months in, you know, going through my discovery process and just really, you know, assimilating and learning a brand new industry. I spent, you know, about half my career in architecture and design. So it's brand new and I love it. And so really our strategy is around connecting the dots between the employee experience and the customer experience and what all of those touch points are, journey mapping that and creating a platform of success truly for employees to do their best work. So a lot around organizational design, organizational effectiveness, and really focusing on just those special touch points that can really elevate and help move an employee into more of a high performing role, if you will. So it's a lot, but a lot of fun, and certainly my passion. You know, I spent 10 years of my prior life in operations and went into HR, really seeing the value of infusing people, you know, not as an asset or a resource, but infusing the humanistic approach of people into business and what that outcome is and can be. So I've made it my life's mission, really.
But that's one of the things when we met, I was so impressed by, because when you articulated your perspective about that and then really seeing people as individuals and helping them become their best, because lots of times, or, you know, more in the past, I would say, because now it's becoming more evident and more front of mind, like you were saying, Karen, with companies. But taking that idea of, you know, we've done it for the customer, because that's always been the focus, to really back that up and say, okay, let's, those approaches of what we want our customers to experience, how can our team experience that?
Right.
And that's, I think, really making the difference in terms of being able to have people show up as their whole self, mm-hmm. and be able to embrace that their whole self is coming in the door.
Right.
And when you can marry that with what you're providing them in terms of skills, in terms of resources, in terms of whatever it is that you are bringing to them to help them have those tools. Now that whole, you're like you're saying, that trifecta is really able to be implemented, because it is in that connect. Those are the connecting of the dots that you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Super important.
Somebody in a different episode, I think it was yesterday, said that folks who are at the helm of HR, it's like they're given this puzzle and the outline, you know, at least for us, and we're big puzzle people in our family, we open up the puzzle, we separate all the border pieces, right? Yeah. And it's pretty typical. at least working with our 10-year-old, we got to start with that. So start that. And then, so someone coming into an HR position like this, they've got the frame most of the time. The frame is already there, especially the well-established entity or enterprise. Like six different names flew through my head. Waste management, and then you get to look at all the puzzle pieces over here in this pile and say, okay, then there are many different ways that we can pull this together. Mm-hmm. We could start with the colors. We could work off the shapes. We could look at the top of the box, right?
Exactly.
And so that's really, I think, especially at this point in time in your journey with waste management, I can't help but think that's a great way to look at where you're at right now.
It is. And I love it that for me, right? So it's all, you know, visualize things and, you know, and I think you both have kind of, you've got my card and my connector. And so, you know, where can you make all of those right connections and moving parts and pieces around? And so that's been a lot of fun of figuring out, you know, what is established and what, you know, what tools are there and, you know, what content is there and, you know, how can we connect the different people inside of the organization, you know, to really foster and bring to life an incredible strategy to help us, you know, achieve environmental performance and continue to be a leader and, you know, and really changing the world around, you know, how we're looking at, renewable resources and waste. So kind of on the converse, I spent, you know, about 2 years in a couple of different startups. So very different, right? Not having.
There is no border yet.
Right? The border hasn't been built.
Right. Sometimes it's a box and there is not even a picture of a puzzle.
Exactly.
And it's been open so you don't know if all the pieces are there.
Right. You got to dump it out, start over again the next day.
Yes.
And so conversely, you know, and that for me is also a lot of fun. Just, you know, devising like, all right, well, we got some, we actually have to cut the shapes out and put it together. So it's been great, you know, just to have exposure in very different organizational infrastructures and understanding different levers, you know, that you need to pull inside of different organizations to really help infuse, you know, a modern people strategy.
And the modern people strategy.
Yes,
speak
modern.
To that. Why did you put that word in there? That is an important word.
It is. In part, because I think, again, you know, we've all read lots of headlines and continue, you know, I continue to meet with leaders and understanding, you know, where is the value that HR really, you know, exists and resides inside of companies. And when I think about value, it's really important because for HR success, it's around driving the business forward. Mm-hmm. Really, it's a catalyst in creating that right framework, the organizational effectiveness, then for all of the parts and the pieces, so the people, process, and systems to fuse together to come to life and to be able to move forward. And HR really does have an incredible moment to take that, you know, take that ownership and help drive the business forward. Unfortunately, I think, you know, we're still up against the traditional format of HR being more of an administrative services, you know, an alignment support services. And still the core of that is important in helping, you know, to make sure things administratively are done and benefits are you know, handled and people are getting paid. There's so much more value that HR truly can and should be providing to companies.
That was one of the things that when we first met, it really helped me to understand in our conversations because I had been in the massage industry for 17 years, right? Mm-hmm. Working when teaching therapists. So when I brought Kinesage into businesses, what I saw was HR is that connecting piece of that puzzle because you have you're charged with the duty of really being that connection between the goals and the objectives of the company being met by working with the people who are doing the work to bring that about. And so the value that HR brings is, I think, the most important because you really are the link. You're the missing piece in that puzzle, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that perspective of understanding that you're bringing so much more, that yes, the administrative skills and roles that have been the basis of HR is still necessary. And your ability to use your skills to be able to develop people or to see those connectivities of how to bring people to the place of being able to expand into more responsibility, their ability to handle more responsibility, their ability to bring the and help move the business forward. I think it's a pivotal piece. I really do.
Right. Yes. And I'm glad you see it.
Yeah. So the future of waste management, what can you tell us that you guys are currently focused on, and how are you rallying the team to support that?
Yeah. So certainly a couple of things. We have a new CEO who took the helm last year. Amazing guy, Jim Fish, who really has done an excellent job of defining a very clear strategy forward, continuous improvement for us and diversification. One of the pain points kind of holistically right now is really around recycle contamination. And yes. I was able to go out to one of our sites on Tuesday and just see it firsthand and couldn't help myself, but even post on my own Facebook page, just the incredible amount of contamination that's coming through our recycle streams. So a lot of education around that. We've got increased regulation from, China not purchasing nearly as much of our recyclables, because of some of that contamination. So a lot of education, and if I can just make one announcement, if you are recycling, just please make sure you're recycling right. Understand what is recyclable, approved. Not adding liquids, not adding hangers and wood and plastic bags into the recycle stream. And it really does and can contaminate all of the other good recyclables. So again, it's just a big piece for us from a focal point. And then internally, and kind of the heart of where I'm at is, one of our pillars is focusing around, people and creating that employee experience that then in turn will connect back to our customers and really generate that customer delight. So we're working on delighting our employees so that we can delight our customers, because truly that idea of creating that ecosystem starts from the inside out.
Shannon, just a question. On your website, on Waste Management's website, is there, I'm assuming you're talking about the education, that people can go and look and see what is recyclable, what isn't, what you need to do if you're going to do like glass that's been food, that's been jars from food or something that they can do to be sure that it is not contaminating?
Yes. Great. Yes. There's a lot of information through our website and then ancillary websites that we have. And then certainly through our social media channels, we've got a lot of information that we've been publishing pretty regularly.
Great. And I'm thinking about it through the lens of just the homeowner. I have my two bins on the side of my yard. Mm-hmm. I've got the black one that's just regular trash and the other one's recycling. Where I live in Chandler, the city picks up both on different days, of course. And I've been in my home for 21 years. As you're sharing about, the concern and really the frustration, in addition to imagine the amount of money that's lost there when we're not aware of what needs to be put in there. And having been in my home for 21 years, I can't tell you the last time. Well, everything's online for me for billing, right? So when the city of Chandler picks up and I'm paying for my bills, I'm not even on a newsletter or anything. So I'm undereducated. I can't mm-hmm. I think I know what I'm doing. Plastic bags don't go in mine. I wash and rinse everything thoroughly before Perfect. I toss it in there. I've never put wood in. but I don't know if glass can go in there. And hangers, I'll tell you, I'm guilty of the dry cleaning hangers going in there because I wouldn't have known any better. Right. So who does Waste Management serve? So I'm in a regular home. Does my stuff for the city likely go to Waste Management?
It can.
It depends on
the
municipality
franchise agreements and the municipality agreements and whether or not we're front servicing or we're servicing through one of the cities.
And so my other question to that is, if it doesn't go to Waste Management and maybe it goes elsewhere, could those expectations for what we're recycling and how we do it differ?
I don't believe so. I believe that the general recycling, there are some things that some of the other recyclers will take. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's led to some of the confusion. Right. So for waste management and what our acceptable recyclables are, you know, certainly visiting the website. And then I would say, you know, if you are in a city or a municipality that is picking up recycling, you know, certainly revisiting the website to go back and to look to see what is available from a recycle standpoint through the city that you're living in.
Comes down to personal responsibility.
Yeah.
There you go. Really? I mean, like, and you're both looking at me and nodding your head with big fat smiles on your faces and my tail goes right between my legs. But truly, I don't think I'm unique. I think whether I'm a business owner or I'm working out of an office, and we have a recycling program, we have to take personal responsibility in addition to the city and or the organization that we work for. It's this nice combination that we have to make sure we continue to educate. And again, on our end, take responsibility, which leads to me to another thought around really wellness, which is why I think the two of you are such a neat connection, because I know that's, yeah, Kathleen, your whole focus. As you look at the landscape of waste management and the team that you're now leading, is there something already in place around wellness as an organization? And what is the focus there?
Sure. We do have a very robust wellness program and really well-being. And it's Kathleen. And I have chatted about, you know, I'm really focused around well-being and what that means, you know, kind of mind, body, and soul connection. And so certainly, you know, the company has some great programs around, you know, being fit and staying fit. And, you know, the other thing I was sharing with Kathleen was a lot of the coaching that we do for self-awareness, which has been really, really cool to see, you know, and sort of including some of the mindfulness work around, you know, how am I personally showing up? What does that look like and feel like? And so it's been, yeah, that piece for me has been really cool to see in action.
And that's why I asked, because when we're talking about my own reflection around where I'm lacking in my knowledge with regard to recycling, even just as a homeowner, as we were chatting, I'm hearing myself, well, Karen, this is your responsibility. Like, not that you said that, but maybe you were throwing darts my way, like, and I got them. But then I thought, you know, it's not unsimilar to, I'm using the word wellness, but it's not unsimilar to our whole well-being. And we all get busy, and a lot of folks haven't had an opportunity for mindfulness training and becoming self-aware, whether it's been through their personal life growing up or their education. So I love to hear organizations who said, you know, we're bringing this into our culture. This is very important to us. Some people speak to it only from a leadership perspective, but we're talking about caring for our employees and helping them feel and become more valuable for themselves first, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. When you're, Shannon, and when you were saying about the mind-body piece and giving people those tools, recognizing that people are showing up as their whole self. So everybody has challenges, whether that's health challenges, family challenges, financial challenges, whatever those are. But no one shows up to their job being just their skill set of what they've been hired for. Mm-hmm. And so when we can teach people and give them the tools of being able to be present in their self, in themselves, when they're working with others, when whatever situation, whether that's their family or just being be able to be present, and how to do that, like how to work in, how, I have a nervous system. How does that work? What do you mean I can work with it?
Right,
what do you
right.
mean I could actually take myself out of stress right now? And when you provide those kinds of tools, that is, we're talking about the holistic aspect of this. It is oneness, right? And it sounds very woo-woo, but when you think about it from being self-aware relative to recycling or being self-aware of what you need to do to get good rest and to be able to show up for your family or show up for your job or just show up for yourself.
Right.
I mean, it really is mm-hmm. all interconnected. And to be able to be a catalyst to infuse that in your culture and to have that culture be a priority of the business, then it's business has such a greater impact and it has a greater possibility of impact by virtue of that. And really, I think that's what's really beautiful for me to see in the companies that I'm working with is that overall perspective of understanding that the more we engage, support, provide tools,
like those for our employees, the more it is a trifecta. It is the ripple effect goes in all directions.
Right.
Goes in all directions. Socially, individually, for business, for profit, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And I, again, when you and I were chatting, you know, I was thinking back to, you know, even at one of the companies I was at before, where Kathleen is doing some work, which is great. You know, we were doing lunchtime yoga, which was a lot of fun. You know, I had practiced for a long time, you know, as a teacher at one point. Not a lot of time to do that now, but but you know, but sharing that back through, you know, lunch sessions. So we were, you know, doing some, you know, even lunch meditation and just small stretching, you know, just to take people out of, you know, that habit and that routine of, you know, again, sitting at a desk for hours or, you know, whatever the role is, you know, but moving into a different space and really just having personal time and reflecting for however many minutes, you know, mm-hmm. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but it truly does have significant health effects, you know, between, you know, all the work that you do. And then certainly, you know, anything related to mindfulness training.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
It's really fun to see the statistics on the differences when people just take a 5-minute break instead of like, okay, I'm going to work crazy for 3 hours for, you know, the morning, and then I'll take a lunch break maybe or maybe not. But just really taking a five minute break.
Every couple hours or every hour?
Well, ideally
every
hour.
As often as you could.
But even in order to work 45 minutes, very focused 45 minutes and take 5 minutes, or 90 minutes and take 5 minutes.
And the difference that makes.
Oh my gosh.
Focus, right? I would imagine focus,
exactly.
Productivity.
And reset. Because we get so much in our minds, when you're concentrated. I mean, how many times have you been so concentrated on something that you don't realize that your leg might be twisted underneath you, or you're sitting in a really weird position,
or a jaw is clenched.
Or your jaw is clenched, mm-hmm. which is a big one.
Shoulders are shrugged up against your ears.
Or I haven't taken a drink of water for hours because I've been so immersed, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, we get lost in the mind, which is, you know, I mean, it's a great tool, but usually it's because we're so habituated into just being in our mind, it really is very easy to forget that there's something beneath our neck, right? Mm-hmm. There's this whole other 93% of us that is there to support us and has tools that we can use. And just through breath, through movement, those are two simple things, but they're
And to have an employer
huge.
Appreciate my wholeness and all of me, I'm sure makes a world of difference, right? As these organizations continue to focus on this trifecta, I think it's huge. And it has to start with, you know, who are we being as individuals?
Yep.
And how can we best support our employees to be their best, even if it means we risk losing them to another opportunity? Mm-hmm. I think it's more likely that longevity is there, right? Isn't that, I know studies show that as well, that the more I know that a company cares about me, and I say company, the people who lead it, in addition to what the vision and mission and the core values stand for. But people feel like they're really part of something bigger than themselves, and they tend to stay longer. So it's a conversation again that I get to have over and over and over again with the people that come on the show. I know that through your work with, is it called SHRM? Did I pronounce that correct?
SHRM of Greater Phoenix.
Right. So is that a focus there as well? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing outside of waste management and how it all kind of folds back in.
Certainly. Yeah. So SHRM of Greater Phoenix is the Society for Human Resource Management local chapter. It's the largest chapter here. I'm in the state of Arizona with about 550 members. So really the focus of SHRM is a support mechanism, training mechanism, networking for practitioners and professionals in HR. And it's, again, a lot of, you know, training is available. We have monthly meetings, a lot of networking opportunity. And a lot of focus around, you know, how are we elevating the practice of HR and what does that mean? What does that look like in action? And how as practitioners are we bringing that back to the organizations that we're connected to within, and or if we're consulting, you know, with an organization? How can we help to, you know, elevate the conversation so it isn't just around those finite areas that we had talked about earlier, those foundational aspects? You know, why is it important to have benefits, and how are the benefits aligned to the purpose? And are these benefits really adding, you know, value towards your values that you have as an organization, just as an example. So SHRM has done, you know, a really great job in connecting a lot of the professionals here from a local standpoint, and will continue to do really great work.
So, and then there's this new cooperative.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Yeah. So Arizona Talent Cooperative was brought to life at some point last year. I say it was a sunny, you know, afternoon when the board leaders of several Arizona-based membership organizations got together, really in the spirit of how can we elevate the conversation around, you know, HR, talent, people, future of work, what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we can really impact organizations, and then how that then can translate to economic development here in Phoenix and through the state of Arizona, as well as creating a really great environment for companies to come, set roots here in Phoenix and keep really great people that are graduating out of our colleges and to keep those folks here. So really the impetus around that collective or the collectivity of that really is around all those different ideas. So it's gotten some legs under it. There are multiple membership organizations who are participating. So International Coach Federation, the Arizona chapter, Arizona Organizational Development Network, Arizona Total Rewards Association, SHRM of Greater Phoenix, the Association for Talent Development, the Valley of the Sun chapter, as well as Arizona SHRM, Arizona Human Resource Executive. You know, again, it's all of the talent membership organizations really coming together to do some really great work here.
So powerful.
It is.
So powerful because, you know, the folks in each of those organizations are so strong, and to bring it as a collective together, that is very exciting.
It is.
That's very exciting.
So, you know, obviously technology changes at this just enormous rate, right? And in the past, I have felt like as I've studied business and have worked in a variety of organizations, including education, I've felt like as people and as enterprises, we've been slow to move as rapidly as technology, right? Technology is a whole different ballgame. But what I'm hearing from you today about this collaborative, and again, yesterday we had a show, it was our Best of Health series, and we had a researcher from ASU and Banner on dementia, and we had a representative from the city of Tempe talking about how the city of Tempe is a dementia-friendly city, and a gal who offers services to dementia families. But what's so, and why I'm bringing that up is that their conversation modeled collaboration in research and wellness and medical practice, mm-hmm. right? And they were celebrating how wonderful it is that in Arizona specifically, they're leading the way in dementia research and also showing up in municipalities that we care about our elderly folks with Alzheimer's. How are we rallying around these families to educate, to provide a safe place through the arts, through movement? And so, through this lens that I get to sit really having a chance to hear from so many different industries, I have to celebrate what you're sharing about this collaborative, that we are, as Arizonans, leading the way around, listen, we all do better when we all look across the table and say to each other, how can I help you?
Yeah.
Who do you need an introduction to? How can we collaborate, work together, instead of looking across the table and afraid to say anything because I feel like I'm going to give something away that you don't have yet, right? I'm all for competition on the baseball field, on the football field, whatever, even a good chess game, even though I can't play chess, but... And even in business, we need to have that competitive edge, but not at risk of everybody moving forward. So I just can't help but say that I get so tickled and get chills head to toe when I have someone on like both of you who say, this is what we're doing at a big, in a big way
right.
with these big players. It's just overwhelmingly exciting to me.
For me too. You know, and it's just, it's bigger than us,
it
right?
is.
And fostering, you know, fostering hopefully a really great legacy around, you know, Phoenix in Arizona that, you know, I believe it started, you know, and it is infused in our startup ecosystem, yes. which mm-hmm. is incredibly special here mm-hmm. in Phoenix. You know, it's all about collaboration and helping one another and lifting each other up, even from a highly competitive space. Mm-hmm. And it's just been remarkable to see that, you know, and so connecting all of the things that we're doing, you know, from both, you know, GPEC to the municipalities mm-hmm. to, you know, the work that we're doing from, you know, a governmental standpoint through, you know, the governor's office and, you know, again, the startups and the talent, you know, how well we're coming together to unite and connect and to leave a really amazing legacy for, you know, generations to come around, you know, what new face of business can look like, what the new face of work can look like, and what the new face of economic development can mm-hmm. can look like truly. And we're in a really unique position. We're doing it very differently than any of the other major cities. Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
It is exciting. And one of those pieces I've just recently become aware of is the Arizona Collaboratory, which is, so now we have the Collaboratory relative to funding.
Yes.
And it's all of the organizations that are all about funding. I was like, well, how about that?
Right.
Right. So you have the startups, but it's like recognizing that's what I'm seeing. And when I look at our community is I'm seeing where everybody's bringing their piece. Right. And now it's just like, okay, how do we connect those dots mm-hmm. together? And that's really what I'm seeing as a community is our strength and how we are all becoming not only uplifted, but elevated in this forward movement based on that aspect. So it's really exciting time to be here.
And it goes back to, again, I think our earlier point around self-awareness. The more we take personal responsibility and we're self-aware and we learn how to as an individual, manage our ecosystem mm-hmm. within ourselves, right? The more we give that gift to each other and take responsibility for it for ourselves, that's the point I was making when I'm comparing it to the growth in technology. The more we make a commitment to that mm-hmm. on a daily basis, every hour for 5 minutes, and we keep going inside to check in with ourselves and make sure we're in alignment with our personal values and that of the company that we work with, the more we can give, the more we can collaborate. And then that's where I see this exponential growth happening. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
To that point, that's one of my greatest joys in working with companies because when I initially went in, it was to bring this opportunity, this experience where people could release their own pain and tension, right? Musculoskeletally. But the coolest side benefit of this was in doing team building and teaching people how to be present in their bodies. What I got to watch was when we're present within ourselves, we're relating whole self to whole self. So instead of two people mm-hmm. whose minds are talking to each other, it was the business owners that pointed this out. They're like, my team's getting along better. My team's relating to each other better. Like, this is really interesting. And so when people are able to have that within themselves, that ability to communicate, because when you're grounded in yourself and our nervous systems really are communicating with each other, we don't know it, but we make unconscious decisions by whether or not people are looking directly at us, or it's actually facial movements in the middle of your face that you could not even know that are there or have any idea about unless you study that stuff. When we're grounded in ourselves, all of those cues are being more engaged. So we have a greater connection together. So that's the harmony that can be increased. So when you talk about that going from your own individual ecosystem to be able to then relate better with your colleague, and then brainstorm about what is it our goals are for our business and what is it that we are trying to communicate and to bring forth, and how can we have that experience, that team experience of delighting our team. Mm-hmm. And then from that, we're human nature is we are collaborative. Our nature mm-hmm. is to want to belong. And so when we do, and we're supported in doing that, then it is just this natural progression. And so it's really, really exciting. And that is one of the biggest joys for me in working with companies is to see that and just watch that amazing process. It's really beautiful.
And I bet it's been, incrementally important, especially I think we just were talking a little bit about technology, but incrementally important in just the face of technology and the work that we're doing through technology and mm-hmm. the disconnectedness that we now have because of technology and what inhibiting factors, mm-hmm. Not connecting might have and how maybe much more important it is today to really be understanding around your own self and your whole self and how you are showing up, because you've almost have to work even harder than we had to because of the barriers that have been created through technology. While it's there to help, it also on other sides, can inhibit us from having that human to human connection. And so I wonder if you've got any feedback or thoughts around how, the technology component has played a part of the work that you've been doing.
It is very interesting because we have gotten so habituated to our devices, right? And there's a lot of convenience that's the reason why we have, right? It makes, in some ways, makes it very, makes life easier in a lot of ways. And when it comes to communication, it has absolutely been very fascinating to watch because, all you have to do is walk down a street or sit somewhere and watch people. And I was
at the light rail.
At the right.
Right.
Perfect. Literally, no one is looking up.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're all looking at what's going on in our world on our device. And so when it comes to, we all know this with text, you send a message in text or an email. It's not different. It is a communication that is sent from one perception and received in through the lens of whoever just received that. So, and if you don't know someone, no voice inflection, you can't hear a laugh. Smiley faces and LOLs and all those things are
still interpreted from their veil.
Yeah, so it's something, but it's there is nothing that in the progression of things, at least if you can hear someone, if you can have a voice-to-voice connection, there is that essence of individual to individual actually connecting. Then if you can do video, then that would be the next level, video and audio, because now you're getting more of that sensation. And really that visual of seeing someone and seeing their expression is on a nervous system level. It affects your autonomic nervous system. So it's the system that we think of as automatic, but that fight or flight or freeze or that beautiful rest and digest side where we would like to live. And most people are in the other side most of the time. Mm-hmm. But being able to see someone's face and their reflection or their engagement in what you're saying can help to calm your nervous system.
Mm.
It's literally genetically, DNA wired in for us to connect to each other. And obviously in person's the best
mm-hmm.
from that sense.
So I'm fascinated with how are so many people, and I'm not going to give numbers because I don't have them, but a lot of people want to avoid feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this technology that is having us be more in avoidance or we have an excuse not to engage. And so really it goes back to our conversation, why it's so critically important for us to be self-aware, able to self-heal, mm-hmm. which I know is your whole thing. Like we have the ability to heal. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to be mindful of who we are. And it's of critical importance for us to stay engaged with each other. Mm-hmm. And yet, unless we're in these kinds of conversations, we don't know that.
Correct.
I've got a 10-year-old, I have two at ASU, and I do my darndest to help them continue to see it. But with this fast-paced world and two working parents,
right.
I have to question, are we always modeling it to the degree that I'd like to give them that education, that opportunity to just have it be part of us? So it's really a fascinating conversation and one that we could really literally have, I think, all day.
I agree. I know. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, then conversely, so important to have that right platform at work where we spend, you know, an inordinate amount of our day, right? Connecting with people and, you know, what is that? What does that look like? And why it's so important to have the right, you know, foundational aspects and, you know, humanistic connection mm-hmm. with our coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Anything that we hadn't thought to ask about waste management or anything that you want to share about the organization?
No, I think we covered quite a bit, you know, again, just around the recycling and all the great work that we're doing, you know, fusing together the employee experience and our customer experience. And just again, you know, working as a leader in environmental performance and certainly the wonderful work we do around our largest zero waste event in the world, which is certified and, you know, at the Phoenix Open.
Tell us a little bit more about that. So obviously I'm familiar that it's the Waste Management Phoenix Open, but right. What, tell us about the zero waste. What's the focus there?
Yeah, so literally zero waste.
Love it.
Literally.
Are y'all hitting that mark?
We are.
Wow.
We are certified as well. So, and then we've gone out to help other, events become certified as well.
So what does that mean? Tell us what that means to be zero waste certified. What is, like, give us that example of how that's done at the Open.
Certainly. So parameters, similar to LEED, if anyone is, you know, familiar with LEED certification. So there's parameters that you've got to meet, you know, as far as diversion and vendors and so forth. So a lot of different components kind of go into that selection criteria. And then are you meeting that criteria? And so we go through and, you know, meet all of that criteria from, you know, ensuring that we've got all of the diversion that we need to, you know, to water reuse, to, you know, ensuring that the vendors that are selected to, you know, provide the food, you know, are also in the same stream of certification and, you know, sourcing food and, you know, it's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
And how many years has it been certified zero? Do you know? At least a couple? Or?
Yes. Yeah. At least a couple. I don't have off the top of my head.
You know, and again, this is me from just the consumer and the homeowner perspective who hasn't been to the Open in years, although I loved it when I used to go. But I just know it is the big place to go hang out and watch people and watch some golf and have a good time, right? Mm-hmm. So I love hearing how waste management has turned this opportunity into a model example of rallying everyone around sustainability and reuse and zero waste. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is. A lot of work and a lot of really great education. I was really excited and was able to participate as one of the lead folks kind of taking some of the clients and different attendees out to go through, you know, some of our different education components. And even, you know, as a new employee, learning a lot myself and just being amazed, right, at just the whole idea that something that massive really is zero waste.
And focusing on, it's not just, we're not just saying it, we are right. actually doing
we're
it,
doing
implementing it.
It
and educating.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Got to feel great.
It does.
If you could see her face, she's smiling.
Yeah, she's beaming, actually.
She's
beaming, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a great fit for you.
It is. It was, yeah, it's been fantastic and pinch myself every day. So just love it. Love what I do. Love the company. I love the purpose.
So you mentioned a word that you shared with me before, and it was pride. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share with that experience that what you said about when you first came on board and that experience about pride in the company?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm beaming with pride. So
you are.
So I was sharing with Kathleen, you know, going through my discovery process and had been out to, you know, several of our sites and meeting employees and, you know, just I love being kind of boots on the ground so it was a Thursday afternoon. Actually, I had kind of made my way back. Was in my office and was looking through some of my paperwork and revisiting some things, and I had gotten to the last page of one of my documents, and in that document, the acronym was HAS Pride, which is an acronym for our values, which is exactly what I had felt when I was out talking to all of our employees, just the amount of pride that our employees have for the work that they do and really the tenure of the folks that we've got, you know, within the organization. And, you know, really just seeing that alive inside of the company, it's just been super incredible.
The word honor for me showed up as you were describing that, right? The sense of pride that you had been feeling, but also knowing that that's embedded in the culture well before you arrived.
Right, right.
And how honored you must have felt knowing that you really are a perfect fit.
Right. Yes. Aww. Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you both so much for being here today. And of course, we
thank
welcome,
you.
We already know Kathleen will be back, I hope,
yes.
Anyway. but we welcome Waste Management to come back, and certainly you, Shannon, as well. Again, this is a very important conversation, a multifaceted. We're talking about a lot of different moving parts, but really it comes down to taking really good care of employees, our community, in addition to our customers. And we're looking at it through the lens of a multi-billion dollar industry and a company that's right up there leading the pack. So
yes,
thanks for all you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And
thanks so much. It's been great.
Yeah,
it always is.
First guest co-host experience.
Yeah, very fun.
A++.
Very fun.
Happy to have you with us. Everybody, it's been great to be with you today. We're moving into a holiday weekend, so we hope you're having a great Friday morning. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.